you make that sound like it's an easy question. Like, this is the starter question, but it's actually very hard.
So that's a good question. I think free will is
I think is
what free will is actually a pretty complicated question.
So what is free will?
Hello, this is Free Will Matters. My name is Santiago Amaya, and I'm an associate professor in philosophy at Universidad de los Andes in Bogotá. I am the host of this podcast.
Hi, I'm Manuel Vargas, and I'm a professor of philosophy at the University of California, San Diego. I am also the host of this podcast.
The human ability to decide and act freely requires that we think of ourselves as agents of a particular kind. We must have the ability to form intentions, to deliberate, to exercise self-control, plan for the future, and so on. At the same time, we are creatures bound by the context and the circumstances that we occupy. What kind of agents, then, are we? How is our agency shaped by the world in which we live? For this season, our guests will be distinguished authors and researchers working on the philosophy of agency. The philosophy of agency can be a daunting endeavor, but with their help, we will get to know better the what, the how, and the why of our agency. Welcome.
For today's episode, our guest is Alfred Mealy. Al is the William H. and Lucille T. Workmeister Professor of Philosophy at Florida State University. He's the author of a dozen books, including Irrationality, Springs of Action, Motivation and Agency, and Manipulated Agents, A Window into Moral Responsibility, as well as over 150 articles. His work addresses central issues about human agency, self-control, self-deception, and free will. Welcome, Al.
Thank you.
Hello, Al. I would like to begin today's episode by asking you one big question. In your work, you've discussed at length the nature of intentional action as essential for understanding human agency. Can you tell us a bit about how you understand intentional action? Why do you think intentional action is central to better understand human agency?
Well, I'll start with the better understanding part of the question. So it seems to me that our intentional actions, if we're going to find paradigmatic, free, and morally responsible actions, we'll find them in the sphere of intentional actions. And not all intentional actions are free, and we're not morally responsible for all of them. Some of them are morally irrelevant. But if we're going to find the free and responsible behavior, it's going to be in that domain. Intentional action is really a very complicated notion. Paul Moser and I offer an analysis of it. It has five conditions. It's very tricky business, but I think the basic idea, the basic arm of intentional action is things that you try to do and succeed at doing without too much luck.
Al, in your view, is there a close connection between agency and motivation? Can you tell us a little bit about how you think about motivation and how it's connected to human agency?
Yeah, this is a complicated one, too. So there is flexible behavior, and then there are things like fixed action patterns. Dennett made a certain fixed action pattern famous among philosophers by talking about the digger wasp, which will sting its prey, bring it to the mouth of its domain, go inside to check and see if everything's okay, and then go out to get it. And if the experimenter moves the prey away, the cricket, the whole routine will be repeated. And it'll be repeated indefinitely. In fact, experimenters get tired of moving it and just give up. So that's a fixed action pattern. It's not motivated behavior. Motivated behavior is more flexible. So if the animal were able to engage in motivated behavior, eventually it would think, in fact, pretty quickly, hey, I've already checked it. I don't need to drag it away again or drag it back. So, yeah, I think motivation is related to flexibility. Flexible behavior is motivated behavior. And free action, morally responsible action, and so on are in the realm of flexible behavior. So they're in the realm of motivated behavior.
Here's a related question, Al. In addition to your work on agency, you have also written at length about free will. What do you think is the connection between those two topics? Can someone be an agent and yet not enjoy freedom? What else do we need to add to an agent in order for that agent to be free?
Yeah, that's interesting. Something like that question is at the heart of my book, Autonomous Agents. Now, remember, I think of an agent as a being that acts. So, and even crickets act, and wasps, and so on. So a lot needs to be added to agency in that sense to get freedom. One thing you need to add is flexibility. So you need to have motivated behavior. And other things you need to add are the ability to anticipate the consequences of your behavior, the ability to adjust your behavior in light of new information, being able to see when things go wrong or right and why, and learning from that about future planning, and so on. So I have a really low bar for agency, but I do like it. I like it because it seems to me that the most basic notion there is action, and an agent is just a being that acts. And so we should focus our attention on action. There are very simple kinds of action, and they get more complicated as we move up the chain, as it were. And eventually we hit the point of free and morally responsible behavior.
Before we talk about morally responsible behavior, I want to ask you a question about moving up the chain, as you say. You mentioned children. Can you tell us something about the agency of children?
In fact, I've written about how children become morally responsible. So they go from zero as neonates to something. There is a process there. How does it happen? Well, I think that one thing that is needed is a sense of competition, like I should do that, but this other thing is more fun. And then, they need to resolve the conflict. And I think once a kid is at that stage where the kid can feel the conflict, come to a resolution, the kid's in a position to be morally responsible for what he or she does and to do it freely. So that would be something to add to little kid agency to get up to little kid free agency, little kid moral responsible agency.
For a long time, philosophers have been interested in the phenomenon of weakness of will. Can you tell us a bit about what weakness of will is, why it matters, and why this kind of weakness is indicative of the kind of agents we are?
Yeah, I think of weak-willed action as uncompelled, intentional action, contrary to one's better judgment at the time. At least I think that's the central case. There are these other kinds of weak-willed actions too, but they're not central. So an example would be Johnny thinks that he should study tonight, and that studying would be way better than playing video games. And he thinks that this is the case from his own perspective, not just his parents or peers or whatever. And even so, he ends up playing video games and not studying. Yeah, that would be an example of weak-willed behavior. And it seems really common, but there are philosophers who have argued that it never happens, and even that it's impossible. Some think that if you judge a thing best, you're most strongly motivated to do it. In my view, what you judge best can come apart from what you're most strongly motivated to do. And that's why we act in weak-willed ways. I think I answered only part of your question, but you can tell me the rest.
So here was the last question that I asked, which is, you know, why it matters and why is this kind of weakness indicative of the kind of agents we are?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think, you know, we would all prefer not to be weak-willed. So it would matter to us, you know, from a pragmatic point of view. You know, we could have a lot of fun and do enjoyable things, but it would be best if we thought, hey, those are the things to do, and then we did them and enjoyed them. I feel like that about philosophy. I spend more time than people say I should on it, but I think it's the right amount of time, and I enjoy it. And what does it indicate about us as agents? Well, that we're not perfect. If we were angels, we would never act in weak-willed ways. But it's probably also more interesting to be a weak-willed agent. At least if you care about how your life goes, then you need to figure out how to make yourself less weak-willed and more self-controlled.
Al, you began writing on issues in the theory of agency a while ago, let's say about 40 years ago. But there's been a lot of recent developments in the field. Can you tell us what you think are the most fascinating recent developments in the philosophy of action?
I think your view on slips, that would be number one. No, there is a lot of interesting stuff. I myself, I think, am mired in the slightly older questions, like what is motivation, what is intentional action? Under what conditions is an action free? What does it take to be morally responsible? But these days, you know, some people are looking into epistemological questions about action, like knowing what you're doing. And your stuff on slips really is interesting, I have to say. That's a new way into some older issues. But yeah, if the question is, what do I find most exciting? Oh, it's, you know, can you get a libertarian view of free will to work? Why we should all quit talking about agent causation? You know, it's stuff like that.
So this is a question that that might make sense to ask in two different ways. One, a kind of question about ordinary folks, as it were, and then a question about philosophers. But here's the general form of the question. What's the biggest misconception about agency, or the biggest misconception about some aspect of agency that you're interested in?
I think the biggest misconception about what's called agency is that agency is, to be an agent is more than just being a being who acts, that there's some special thing about agency that takes us beyond action. And I really don't understand the attraction of that idea. So agency is the property of being an agent. What else would it be? And then we can think about what agents are, and they are beings that act. And so we're back to action.
What is it to act?
That's a hard one. You know what? Here, what I'm inclined to do is to be a little stipulative and to say, well, let's focus on intentional action. And then an event is going to be an action only if it's the sort of thing that could be done intentionally. That's how I think of it. And then, you know, you give your account of intentional action. And the basic case, again, is just going to be the case in which you try to do something and you succeed without too much luck. So an agent, at least if we're going to go to intentional agents, agents who can do things intentionally, is going to be at least a being who can do that. Try and succeed without too much luck.
It's been great, Al. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, you're welcome. I enjoyed it.
Free Will Matters is part of the LATAM Free Will Agency and Responsibility Project. It is produced by 070, thanks to a generous grant of the John Templeton Foundation, and with the support of Universidad de los Andes and the University of California in San Diego. For more information, visit us at freewill.uniandes.edu.co. That is freewill.uniandes.edu.co. We'll be right back.